You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everyone? Happy Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, February 27th. And earlier today, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni and general manager Howie Roseman both spoke with the media at the NFL Combine. And they're at the podium with a presser that's locked, loaded, and ready for you. I'm your host, Rachel Prevett, and this podcast is brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Before the break, you will hear from Nick Sirianni. He talked about analyzing the drop-off at the end of the 2023 season. He was asked how he felt that Jalen Hurts did as a leader this past season, and whether he feels that Hurts needs to be a more vocal leader moving forward. And he said that he doesn't know how the situation with Hassan Reddick and the Birds is going to play out, but he did say that Reddick played a huge role the last couple of seasons, and he really does hope that he stays. And after the break, you'll hear from Howie Roseman. He talked about integrating some of the younger players like Nolan Smith going into this upcoming season. He said that he looks forward to being aggressive during the free agency process. And he was also asked about the salary cap increase and how it can impact things. Roseman stressed that his focus is making good decisions with the money that they have. Take a listen.
Few months into the off season, obviously you've gotten a chance to watch some film. Have you analyzed the drop off that happened mid season?
Yeah. That's what this early parts are for. This early, you get a little bit of time to get away. You hire new coaches, you get a little time to get away, and then you start to analyze your season and watch draft prospects, watch free agencies. And so that's what we're in the process of right now. What happened, what we did well, what we didn't do well, right? And obviously there was a drop off and of how we played down the stretch and how we coached down the stretch. And again, those are still in the early stages of us kind of identifying those things. Don't want to give you a premature answer. But that's what we're in the process of doing right now. We're committed obviously to getting it better and to taking a good step forward next year.
Nick, do you think Jalen needs to be more of a vocal leader next season? And how do you think he did last year leading?
You know, everybody, there's not a book that is written on this is how you lead, right? People lead in different ways. And one thing I learned early about in leadership is that you have to be yourself. And because if you lead and you're trying to be somebody you're not when you lead, then that gets seen through. I mean, that's just the same scenario I was put in, when I became the head coach or an offensive coordinator or whatever it was. And everybody has to lead their way. And Jalen has special qualities that people will follow and people will want to follow. And he's got to do what he needs to do to lead in that way. And so some people's leadership style is loud and aggressive. Some people's leadership style is by example, and some is a mixture of both. And so Jalen needs to lead how he needs to lead. Right. And AJ needs to lead how he needs to lead. Whoever it is, Slay's got to lead how he needs to lead. And because that's leadership, right? Is being who you are and leading an example. At the end of the day, if you're leading by example, that's a great style of leadership. So Jalen needs to lead how he needs to lead. And I think he's done a great job of doing so. And he'll get, just like he has done in other things, he'll get better at, that part of his game, and he'll get better just because I know that he'll continue to work on getting better at no matter what part of the game he needs to work at.
You look back at the way you did things last year. How much are you looking at changing the way you communicate with players? I'm just considering because there are reports out there, you know, even a little some players. exceptional. So what are you planning on changing the way you get the players over?
You go through like anytime you go through a season, whether it's successful in your eyes or whether it's not successful in your eyes, you look on ways, opportunities to get better. And my job is to talk to every single player, and I've done that. Talk to every single coach. What went right? What went wrong? What's your and you take that into account. You take everything into account, and you try to get better at doing those things. I think connection is our number one core value, and there were things that we as a team, myself, didn't do a good enough job of last year, right? Maybe we leaned a little bit more into one category of our core values: connect, compete, accountability, football IQ, and fundamentals. Maybe I, at times I felt like I leaned maybe a little bit into one and not enough into the other. And so those are all things that you evaluate at the end of the year. And I look forward to, you know, getting better. And you know, like I said to you guys before, like, we're not that far removed from having one of the best cultures, you know, that any of us had ever been around. And that's, you know, our players would say that, our coaches would say that, and it's just some tweaks that we need to do. But make no mistake about it, the things that, like, you can change how you communicate your culture, you can change the ways that way you do it with it. But at the forefront, we're never going to change what the culture is: connect, compete, accountability, football IQ, and fundamentals. And we have the right coaches in here to do it, and we have the right players in here to do it, because we have good people in this building.
What parts of Kellen Moore's scheme will accomplish most of those?
Yeah, good question. So obviously Kellen, I hired Kellen because, you know, I felt like he was the best guy for the job, and Kellen's been successful in every place that he's been. I know it's relatively a young career, but he's been successful as a player. He's been successful as a coach, you know, and so, you know, I like the way he thinks about football and the way he takes everything in and is able to make decisions off of that. So it's been fun getting to know him. You know, I've always had respect from him from afar. And it's been fun to get to know him and work through these things together, you know, to build our offense for next season. And so he's been highly successful, and we've been highly successful. And I think that, you know, I'm really looking forward to meshing the things, you know, meshing what he's done really well together with the things that we've done really well. I think it's going to be a really good match. And Kellen's track record speaks for itself.
How can you make
Jalen? Jalen's obviously had high moments of success. You know, last year in 2022, a runner up for, you know, obviously up there for the MVP award, and through the first 11 games, the same thing here. And then we had a fall off as a team. And it's not just Jalen, it's not just me, it's our team, that we had a fall off as a team those last 6 weeks, and we all need to get better from. But Jalen's played some really outstanding football. Here's what I know about Jalen. Whatever he sees that he needs to work on, he's going to get better at that, because he puts everything he has into it. And that's a form of leadership too. Like, Jalen sees something that he feels is a weakness of his, or we feel like is a weakness of his, he's going to dive everything that he has and pour everything that he has into it to get better from that. Like, that's leadership. Like, that's a form of leadership. And so I know that, you know, obviously I'll keep some of the things that we've all talked about, you know, what I need to get better at, what he needs to get better at, you know, to ourselves. But I know this, that he'll put everything that he has into getting better as a football player, being better as a quarterback, so we can win more games as a team.
From Atlanta, what's the core DNA of your Bulldog players? What does Kirby do so well to get these guys right?
Toughness, right? Toughness. Obviously, the guys that we've drafted and have on our team from Georgia are highly talented, right? We have two first round guys in Jordan, and then Jalen, another first round guy, and Nolan. We got a third round guy in Nakobe, a fourth round guy in Keeley. So they're tough, they're physical, they know how to win. And on top of that, they're really good football players. And so we look forward to continuing to develop those guys. And so, yeah, you know, you look at it from afar and say, hey, these guys know how to work. These guys know how to practice. I think that's a, and these guys are tough. I think that's anytime you can say that about another coach, like that's my, hopefully you understand that's a high praise that I have for Coach Smart and what he's done at that program. And obviously grateful for that because we have some of those really good players on our team.
Not being afraid to play young players. What's been your philosophy on that your first 3 years in the league, and how do you see that evolving?
My philosophy has always been play the best, the guys that are going to help you win the game. Every week, regardless of whether you talk about scheme, whether you talk about players, you're trying to do whatever you can do to win the game because that's the bottom line, is to win football games. And so whoever gives us that best chance to win a football game, that's what we'll do. Young, old, middle, it doesn't matter. We're going to do what we need to do. I owe that to our team, our play, we and our coaches and our players and our fans to play the best player that's going to help us win that week. And so we don't care who that is.
Publicly frustrated with some of the outside noise. I guess what's been your reaction to it? Do you talk to him about, you know, handling that type of stuff?
AJ, like I've been telling you guys for a long time, not only is he, you know, one of the best players I've ever been around, he's also one of the best leaders, and what, you know, and he's going to do anything he can do to stick up for his teammates. That's why I admire, that's why he wears a C on his chest. And I think that, you know, if you're speculating, well, hey, what does it mean if he's yelling over here? Like everybody doesn't, there's some people that when you're leading them, you yell at them. And there's some people when you're leading them, you put your arm around them. And there's some people, there's somewhere in the middle. And like, that's leadership also, is just figuring out what buttons to press with different guys. Not every person is, you don't treat everybody the exact same, right? The standard is what it is. And you hold everybody to that standard, but you don't treat everybody exactly the same of how you get to that standard, how you correct that standard, or how you praise that standard. Everybody's a little bit different. I think, you know, AJ understands that. You know, like I said, just a great teammate, a great person. In my opinion, best receiver that's been in Philadelphia. And I grew up a Terrell Owens fan, and I grew up Howie says I'm too young to like Mike Quick, but I was a huge Mike Quick fan. And it's pretty cool that I get to do some interviews with him every once in a while. But you look at the stats and you look at what AJ's done in a 2-year span, he's had the two most productive years ever as an Eagle wide receiver. And so, man, like when you have one of your best players being also one of your best leaders, that's special.
Where do you land on Hassan Reddick's future with the Eagles, knowing that there's going to be a business decision has to be made this offseason?
Obviously, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know how that will play out. Obviously, Hassan's been awesome for us these last 2 years. Big reason why we've been to the playoffs the last last 2 years is the contributions of Hassan. He's played really, really outstanding football. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out, and you know, hopefully he's an Eagle.
Coach, why was Curry staff this year than last year? A, was that intentional? And B, why did you turn over the defensive staff and not the offensive staff?
So, you know, it was about getting the right guys for the job. And I'm excited to, you know, have the experience of Vic here. He's obviously been an outstanding coordinator for a long time, a very long time in this league. Shoot, he was telling me the other day when we were driving up here that, you know, the combine when he first started was in New Orleans. I can't even fathom how. So he's been in this league for so long, been successful for so long. And I'm really looking forward to that, you know, because, you know, as well as we've done on defense in the past, you know, dating back to Jonathan, you know, Jonathan was a first year coordinator, as I was a first year head coach. And, you know, Sean was early on in his, I think it was his second year as a coordinator. And so I'm really looking forward to that experience that Vic will provide. Vic's a great play caller. You know, he's done it again. Like I said, he's done it for a very, very long time, very, you know, at a high level. And, you know, I'm really excited for that experience we have. And, you know, as I think it's important, that Vic had, you know, some of his guys that he's worked with before and that know his system and know the things that he requires. And so there's a reason, you know, why there's some change there on the defensive side, because he needed some guys that were familiar with that, you know, which Sean didn't have last year, you know, and so I thought that was important. As far as, you know, us kind of creating the our Philadelphia Eagles offense going into 2024, right? That will be, you know, thoughts that we've done in the past really well. That'll be thoughts that Kellen's done in the past really well. And so, you know, we look forward to building that together. And so, you know, Kellen has a, you know, we brought in Doug to be the quarterback coach. And then we kept, you know, stayed Pat in a lot of different areas as well, with Kevin and with Jason, with Stout. Those are really, obviously we know those are really good coaches, you know, have a lot of faith in them. And, you know, it's meshing of two systems to, you know, to grow in both systems so we can have put the best product on the field. And so, you know, that's why that's kind of stayed similar is, you know, cause we're going to be doing a lot of different, you know, we're going to be doing different things, but also going to be doing things that we've been successful at as well. And so, and obviously those guys that I just mentioned on offense have been here through the success and look forward to growing from there.
What do you think of Shane Steichen in his first year in Indianapolis and just seeing him, I guess, grow in that role? His first year?
Yeah, I obviously didn't get a chance to watch too many of Shane's games. Obviously we were busy doing our own thing, but always rooting for Shane, you know, and I'm happy for him that the, you know, it was a success. He had to go through some ups and downs with some guys getting injured, and he continued to, you know, coach really good football from afar. What's that?
Personality wise, what sticks out about him makes him, I guess, ready for that opportunity?
Yeah. You know, he's had a lot of good experiences. I think he's all football, at all times. And, you know, that's what he's interested in. I think there's not a lot of, you know, I've obviously feel like I have a good friendship with Shane and, you know, really value that friendship. But I can't tell you that when my wife and his wife and myself and our kids, we all went out to dinner, there was much other conversations going on besides football. And that's Shane. And so I value that relationship. And I'm really happy that he, you know, obviously didn't get a chance to watch a lot of his stuff. But, you know, happy how they, you know, that they had a successful season, and I'm really excited for them. And I'm not surprised that they did, cause I know Shane's a great football coach. He's a great leader. He's a great person. And I'm happy for his success that he's having.
Nick, you see the running back room shaping out now that, you know, DeAndre is headed to free agency, and I think Kenny's the only one under contract next year. Do you feel like you might
change out for the round? No, I think last year we ended up, you guys would know better than me. I know we were in the top 10 in rushing, and that's been kind of a staple here for the past 3 years. And we've done it with different pieces, and you always can do it with different pieces. But, you know, obviously you get attached to the things that, you know, DeAndre had a great year. He did a lot of really great things. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. There's a lot to play out, right? There's free agency. There's the draft, then there's college free agency. Then there's more guys that are still left out. I mean, so there's so many things that can play out. You're trying to fill that just like you are in a receiver room, trying to fill different roles, right? You're trying to do the same thing at the running back position, trying to do the same thing at the tight end position of making sure you have the right guys to fill the roles that you want to do as an offense. And maybe one guy can fill three roles, and maybe one guy can fill the other two. And so you just never know how that plays out, and what players you have in place. But we, you know, obviously value the contributions that DeAndre made. He's a great football player. We'll see how that goes with where we are. But there's so many things to play out. You know, I know we know what we're looking for as far as that position and the roles that we want to fill with that position. And so, and having Kenny, he fills some of those roles, and we're excited to have him, and look forward to see what the future has with the other guys.
What's one thing you learned last year from the end of the season? You think next year can help you if you are in a similar situation, you lose a game or two? Like, what was one takeaway you got?
You know, we went through early here in 2021. We went through a really tough stretch, right? And we doubled down on the things we knew to be true, our culture, our core values. And I wouldn't say, you know, and then we went through a tough stretch here too. And even though we said to ourselves, hey, we're doubling down on this, it didn't, in 2021, it worked. And in 2023, it didn't work. I think it's just, you know, again, being in this constant growth mindset of, you know, of things that, you know, just always trying to get better at every style of football that you can, that you're trying to do. And then just, I do think though, with those core values, it is a, you always double down on those, because to me, it wasn't a core values. We didn't just make them up and say, hey, connect, compete, accountability, football IQ, and fundamentals are what's important. Right. That was years and years of coaching and playing that we thought to ourselves, and I thought to myself, these are the common denominators of good football teams. And that's not changing off of a bad spurt. Right. And so it is a true double down on those from day one, you know, doubling down on the connection, doubling down on the accountability. I really look at it, those two, the connect and the accountability, even though I say connect, compete. Well, those two C's kind of go together. So it's like they say it again, but connect and accountability are the two, I would say, cornerstones of our program that those are the ones that when I really take away, hey, these are important, that we play with good football IQ, that we play with good fundamentals, and that we compete our ass off. Those are important. But it all starts, everything starts with the accountability and the connecting. And so it's almost a double down, a triple down on those core values. And I look forward to when the players get back to do that. And as you see that we've been kind of doing it as coaches with our cheesesteak tour.
All right, guys, here we go. Did you have one, or did I put you on the spot?
No, I'm good.
Anyone else who directs and it talks gets the next question.
So what is your plan to put this team in winning situations this year?
Well, you know what? I'm proud of the people that we have on this team, on and off the field. You know, obviously, the end of the season didn't go the way we wanted to, but at the same time, you know, making the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years, being in 2 of the last 6 Super Bowls, I feel like we've developed some sort of winning culture. Now we got to add to that. And I think we got a lot of work to do. You know, I'm a little bit excited about kind of aggressively going after some future players that we did to start this off and bringing back at least one of our guys. So it's a good start, but we got a lot of work to do. And I'm excited to do it with the people that we get the opportunity to do it.
Can you give us an update on Hassan Reddick? Where are things with Hassan's report? He was allowed to seek a trade. Do you expect him to be back next year?
Well, I'd say this. Hassan, obviously, unbelievable player for the Philadelphia Eagles. Local kid, great success story. Camden, Temple, Philly. Love having Hassan. I think that, you know, anything that you're trying to do, you're trying to blend, obviously, what you're trying to do this year and how you're going to look in the future. And I think that's the hardest job. But certainly, you know, don't want to get into any specifics with any conversations with players, but have tremendous respect for the player and the person.
With him, what's the best case scenario?
I think honest communication is the best case scenario with all your players, and understanding where you stand and not being afraid to have open doors of communication and hearing where they feel and where we feel. He had the initial conversation.
From Atlanta, uh-huh. You remember the first time you ever met Kirby, your initial reaction when visiting with him, and what makes he and his coaching staff so successful in preparing their guys for the league?
Yeah, well, I think when you talk about Kirby and you talk about the experiences he had that led him to Georgia, I mean, phenomenal experiences, history of winning, and then he's got a culture down there of working and mentality. And obviously that travels on both sides of the ball, and you watch our defensive guys and they're prepared to work. You know, they're not looking for any half ways of doing things. They're looking to work hard and to win and compete. And that's because of the culture he set.
How much does this affect your plans when it comes to the draft and also people like you have to start looking more at it because of the uncertainty?
Yeah, I'd say it's obviously, you know, it's always a position that we're evaluating, we're looking at. So I don't think that anything's changed in terms of that. You know, it's our job to make sure we're prepared for any eventuality at any position. And you do that by preparing for the draft process, which this is a great part of that, is getting more information and information gathering, knowing what's out there in free agency and knowing where your players are.
How do you take advantage of the salary cap increase? How do you take advantage of
that? Well, just the way you take advantage of anything, you just bring in a lot of good people. You know, I think that's the key, is for us to bring in good people overall, to try to keep those guys in Philadelphia, to sign them to extension and build a culture of guys who It's important for them. The team's important. The city's important for them. And I think we got a good start on that.
How much does it change?
You said you don't want to overreact to an aberration. As you analyze, as you view the last few weeks as an aberration?
You know, I don't know that I think about it other than how do we improve? You know, how do we get better as quickly as we can? How do we put our resources in the right position? How do we make good decisions after good decisions? Certainly, we weren't good enough. You know, I think that luckily we've gotten to a point here where, you know, the standard is trying to compete for world championships. And so if a season ends, whether it's this year, which was disappointing, or last year, which was disappointing, that's really what we're trying to do. So I think it's clear to me that we weren't good enough to do that this year. And so I got to do whatever I possibly can to do better. And I got to look at it with open eyes and think about, you know, what things that I can do to help the team do better next year.
Howie, what's your biggest deterrent
when evaluating the quarterbacks? What are some of the things that you don't want to see? Could be off field or even on like their play.
You're talking about just in general about quarterbacks?
Yeah. When you're doing the evaluation process, what are some of the scary things that you don't want?
Yeah, I think just look at our starting quarterback and the traits that he has, you know, unbelievable work ethic, unbelievable physical talents, desire to be coached, a desire to learn, you know, off the field, all he wants to do is work and be with family and friends. And so I think it's a lot of the things that you'd look for, you know, in any leader, in any organization to have these kind of traits. And obviously there are physical parts of that that go with accuracy and anticipation and being able to extend plays and being able to make every throw.
Now, you've had the luxury in recent years of not needing your rookies to play a ton right away, but are there ways in which that sort of complicates the self-scouting, self-evaluation process?
I think when we look back and Coach and I talk about it a little bit, it's okay to play some young players. It's okay for them to get experience and kind of see what you have. Based on where some of our guys were, they had the ability to sit back and learn a little bit because of the situations that we were in. I think going forward, it's going to be harder to do that. Obviously, just as you look at our team and who is making a lot of money, and we had a little bit of extra picks over the last couple of years. So I think that it for us to play our young players, to develop them, I think that's something that Coach and I have talked about, to not be afraid of. That's why you draft them. That's why you sign them. And so you have that, and you'll have a depth chart where they'll be a little bit uncomfortable about, you know, this guy necessarily hasn't shown it, but we believe in this player. And so I think that'll be an area for us to kind of maybe grow on. And I don't want to say improve, because we had good players at those positions, but you know, that's exciting, I think, in a lot of ways.
Howie, when it comes to the cap,
when you look at upgrading defense, like what's your top priority?
Yeah, I think that, again, I think going back to the question, I think you want to improve every area, every layer of your team. Certainly, I think when we look back at last offseason, we made a conscious decision to kind of put a little bit more resources onto the offensive side, knew that we'd lose some good players on defense. I think looking back, you know, certainly miss some of those guys. You know, that starts with me and making those decisions. And so I don't think there's an area that, you know, we wouldn't, you know, be open to addressing. Now, if you look at our defense and you're just kind of honest with it, well, we have a lot of young players at defense tackle, right? So is that as big a priority as other areas, just being honest? Probably not. But that's also an important position. So we're also not going to be in a position where we're going to turn down a guy because the resources are already there, because we believe in the D-line so much. I'm gonna come, I promise.
What do you think of the job Shane Steichen did in this first year in Indianapolis? And if, like, so far, any areas of growth from?
Are you a Colts writer?
Yes.
Okay, that gives me perspective. yeah, you know, it's funny because last year at the Combine, Shane's room was on the same floor as mine. And like three times I was trying to see him. I hadn't seen him since the Super Bowl. And he texted me, he's like, I got something for you. So I'm sitting there, well, this guy's going to give me a great present. You know, he's so happy of the players we got him. He's got this head coaching job and head coaching money. And so, like, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, is he getting me a watch? Is he getting me freaking sneakers? You know, all the things I like. And he's like, bro, I have this green sport jacket. I'm like, we have nothing similar in terms of body types, you and I, bro. I can't even wear this. So I actually just gave it to Nick. So, which probably different body types too. So I think that, you know, Shane has this savant-like approach to football. He's all ball all the time. Any conversation you want to talk to him about football, about players, he's there. If you want to talk to him about current events, he'll kind of give you that, what? But I think that's what makes him such a great coach, is because he's always working on things. He's got tremendous confidence in his knowledge and his ability. And I certainly think the Colts are lucky to have him. I'm going to come. I promise.
How do you view Nolan Smith?
I think that goes back to the point about some younger players and kind of in retrospect, just seeing, you know, him certainly in the playoff game, one of the guys who played well in the playoff game, maybe giving him a little bit more time during the year and experience. We talked about that. He's got all the right tools in his body. He's got the right mentality. And at the same time, he's got to go out and show it. I'm coming. Boom, boom.
When you look at salary cap increase, how does it change the way you can approach this offseason?
Well, I think you still got to be cognizant of how you want to build a team. I think you still got to be aware of guys coming up for contracts that you want to keep, that you don't anticipate losing. And I think it also gives you some flexibility to not force things, you know, to have the ability to walk away from a deal and understand that may come about at another time. So I don't think you want, it's still the same amount of money. It's like, if you win $5, it's still your $5, you know. You don't want to just throw that $5 out and pretend like, you know, it's not yours. So this is our salary cap money. We got to make sure that we're still making good decisions with it, because at the end of the day, as we go forward, we do have a lot of guys making a lot of money. Yeah, I think that there are talented players on the free agent market. You know, obviously, we got a couple of guys there from our team that are going to be free agents. And I think that at the end of the day, talented players end up getting paid, you know. And it's just, I think, where I'm getting a little distracted by the freaking is Dom doing the security? Are you doing John Lynch's security right now, Dom? they left. so I think everyone will kind of have value on the players, just like any other position. And obviously those guys handle the ball a lot and they're important players.
Given Vic's experience as a defensive coordinator, does he get more sway when it comes to personnel?
I'm sure he thinks that. No, I'm just kidding. you know, obviously tremendous respect for Vic, know him for a long time. And he's had tremendous success. And I think when we talk about how we build the team overall, obviously that's something that's important to us. But by the same token, knowing what the coordinator is important to the coordinator and the system so that it could be successful is important as well. Well, Devontae's an incredible person, an incredible player, obviously homegrown, young guy. You know, without getting into specifics, those aren't guys that you really want to lead.
What's your understanding of the future for Kelsey?
You know, obviously, those guys, unbelievable players, unbelievable people, and they deserve the right to decide what's best for them. And, you know, we'll wait and give them whatever time and space they need to make the right decisions. And I think the important thing from our perspective is you'd never want to see them wearing different colors. And I think for us, no matter when that is, if they want the opportunity to come back, we'd want to have the opportunity to bring them back.
Bradbury's on a contract for $9 million guaranteed. He played some slot last year. Do you guys view him more as a slot as a holder or still an outside guy?
I think he's an outside guy. I think when you look at the skill set there, I think that, you know, that was one of the positions that as we got into the summer, we kind of knew we needed some depth there. We gave some guys opportunities to do it. You know, I got to do a better job of bringing in more guys to be able to play that position. I think that's one area that kind of you felt like in August, maybe we needed to add. So we tried some guys. But when you look at JB and his history and his success as an outside corner, to ask him to do something, which is really a different position, is hard.
And he remains part of your plans?
Yeah, he's under contract, part of our plans.
G-G-N.